is on a loan, personal sins. We may be surprised but not shocked. A teenager seems to be so preoccupied with sin. He may have a deep realization not only of the gravity of sin, but the need of each one of us for seeing Christ as our personal Savior. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ, not a single one of us would have the hope of heaven. To this end, your knowledge will make every person aware of his or her own sinfulness. There will be confession immediately after this conference, followed by Mass. There are three reflections in this meditation of the variety of reflections. I've chosen these three. The realization of the gravity of my own sins. Secondly, understanding the result that my actions have caused to my own life, the life of others. Only God knows how much harm I have caused by my sins. And thirdly, knowledge of the world. Oh, how casually we speak of the world. Our one hope, our one desire, the fruit of this retreat should be to put away everything that is worldly in my life. The English language, I mean this, is the most ambiguous language spoken by man. One word in English can have a half a dozen or a dozen meanings. So whatever is worldly and vain, we need to understand the meaning of the vocabulary we use. What is worldly is what the old spirit brought into what we call the world and has been in the world ever since. The United States is a big worldly country. First is the realization of the gravity of my own sins. What a difference between knowing something and realizing it. How it is. Our English language is so ambiguous. See, nature would have us realize the gravity of our sins. This means the goats and natures that I see the loathfulness, the loathsomeness, and the malice that every mortal sin I have committed has itself. In a series of statements, I humble myself by asking two questions. What am I in comparison and contrast with all the men and women in the world? What are all men and women and of the angels and saints in heaven. And the lowliest person in the world. I mean, what I am saying, the more we grow in the awareness of our loneliness, shall I say, our own nothingness, the more we grow in the spiritual life. Well, that's only the beginning. I'm quoting Ignatius. I will consider all the corruption and loathsomeness of my body. I will compare myself as a source of corruption and contagion, from which ambition, countless sin, and evil, and the most offensive poison, I'm quoting St. Ignatius. Only God knows, but we shall know how many people have been led into sin because of my own infidelity to God. Then follow when I consider the two most poignant paragraphs in spiritual literature. They reveal both the insight of the great mystic St. Ignatius and the mystery of human depravity and the gravity of us converted sinners for the unspeakable mercy of God. I will first consider who God is, against whom I have sinned. God alone must exist. God alone did exist. We don't count it. The ages, no doubt the millions of centuries before he decided to create the world. Is God against whom I have sinned? Going to the enemies of God and comparing them with what is contrary in my life. God's wisdom compared with my ignorance. Oh, how we need to realize, I mean realize, how stupid we are. The power of God compared with my weakness. The justice of God with my iniquities. And God's goodness in contrast with my wickedness. Is meant to be a cry of wonder, followed by a surging emotion as I pass in review all the creatures. How is it? How is it? In his last, that I have been permitted to live. Have this esteem, God is esteeming in my life. Why are the angels? Though they are the sword of God's justice, tolerating me, guarding me, and, dare we say it, prayed for me. Why are the saints? Continue to intercede for me and ask so many graces, except for their prayers, that I would not have received. And then the heaven, the sun, moon, stores in elements, the fruits, the birds, the fish, and all the animals, why have they all been at my service? How is it? Now the earth has not swallowed me up and created new hells in which I should have been tormented forever. The larger the audience I speak to, the more clear I am that maybe some among us have never sinned gravely. Is the Lord, thank God. But most of the human race, we can safely affirm, has sinned gravely against God. As we read this apostrophe of praise of God's mercy, we should be moved to pity for the blindness of so many, the horror of sin, including myself. We ask ourselves, how well am I of the evil I have done by swarming, adoring my own self-will instead of obeying and submitting to the almighty will of God. The all here in chapel, the blessed Simon expose, only because of the mercy of God. Ignatius tells us to remind ourselves, having, and most of us safely say, having sinned gravely against God, we should be not in chapel, not before the Blessed Sacrament, but I mean this, in hell. All that God had to do was to call us from time into eternity after we had sinned gravely against Him. Now some maxims of the saints. The end of sin is death. St. Basil. Except for sin, no one would die. Except for sin, be no suffering, no agony in the human race. Then St. Ambrose, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Dear God, how we need to examine during our retreats to what failures, shall I say, to what sins we are still prone, shall I change the noun, are still slaves. In God's name, let us beg the dear Lord to make us realize how deeply we have sinned in the past. We have time left to expiate our sins. That is why we are here. We should never, come and never, run away from suffering. Never avoid pain. Because as God will be than we, give all the pain due to us for our past sins. Only God knows how many in chapel this morning, thou succeed in living, O world, a year from now. Let me die that is the beginning of eternity. We're not Hindus, we're not Buddhists, we are Christians. We believe there's only one life in this world. For some of us a shorter life, for others a longer life. But over the denominator of eternity, the 100 years, what is it? But a small flash. Meant to live on and on for all eternity. And the question is, where shall we spend our eternity? No matter how much we have to undergo in this life, no matter how much we have to suffer, it says nothing, compared to the everlasting suffering that is due to a single mortal sin. And I dare say most of us have committed. The world. St. Ignatius tells us to meditate on sin as we begin the retreat. One meditation, he says, is not enough. In the full spiritual exercises, which last 4 weeks, is almost one full week meditating on sin and its consequences. Our present reflection is on the disorder caused by my, yours and mine, sinful actions. You're told by Ignatius to pray with Our Lady that she may obtain for me from her Son an understanding of the disorder of my actions. That filled with horror of them, I may amend my life and put in order. I've given too many retreats. You don't give retreats for 52 years, the length of my priesthood, without realizing we have all and perhaps often, no doubt, deeply offended God. What we deserve for our sins is beyond human calculation. And we believe on faith. Every sin has two inevitable consequences. First, the loss of grace. And secondly, the enduring endeavor of suffering. Every sin loses grace. If the least sin we commit deprives us of grace, the mortal sin deprives us of all the grace of God, which we call sanctifying grace. And suffering. Oh, I need to say this. I'm speaking of sinner to sinners. We owe God a heavy debt. I mean is a depth of suffering. Say that again. Your God, a heavy debt of suffering for the sins we have committed. And this means we should never come and never run away from suffering. We need it. You need it, I need it. Either we expiate our sins in this life by the suffering we undergo this side of eternity, or we shall suffer after death. Here it is. Except for sin, there be no pain in the world. At this point, I should like to point out, if our own sins to expiate on the suffering that we undergo, but we also have the sins of others. Dear God, the sins of bishops, the sins of priests, the sins of religious, the sins of husbands and wives, the sins of teenagers, dare I say it, the United States has raised sin to a role of greatness. Some of the most prominent men in our country, on the world, were sinners. Our faith teaches us that every sin, has two inevitable consequences: the loss of grace and the infirmity debt of suffering. First, the loss of grace. Every time we have sinned, we've lost grace. Here it is. Every mortal sin deprives the soul of all the grace that a person may have acquired through a lifetime of practicing virtue. And the devil is always tempting us. The church teaches us, every one of us has a guardian angel. Thank God. But the church also tells us to believe each one of us has a devil, a demon, tempting us constantly to offend God. What do I mean when we say that every sin loses grace? Every sin we commit deprives us of more or less of our supernatural life. Every mortal sin, that's why it's called mortal, deprives us of all the grace we have gained through years of doing God's will. Oh, how we need, we shall see at great length, how we need the grace of God. unstewardly, shall I say, idiots. We do wrong. Every wrong we commit deprives us of more or less of the grace we have gained. And one mortal sin, your faith in mine, deprives us of all the graces we have gained to a lifetime of doing God's will. But sin not only deprives of grace, sin incurs a penalty, and that penalty is suffering. Whatever I want to share with you during this retreat is to never run away from the pain that God sends us. Of course, in His mercy, God allows us to be relieved of pain. But here, the worst pain, I'll keep repeating this during the retreat, the worst pain is not in the body. The worst pain is in the soul. Every time we sin, here, we incur a debt of suffering. More deeply, we have sinned in the past. Hear it. The more we must suffer in the future. Having taught theology for over 30 years, some very intelligent students, especially by my fellow judges. I can say this. The more intellectually gifted a person is, the more that person is tempted by the evil spirit to ignore the gravity of sin. The worst sinners are the most intelligent people in the world. By sinning once more, hear it, we lose only God's grace as a supernatural gift. We lose the gift of our minds. Can I say it again? Every person in mortal sin is mentally blind. Gets into the habit of sinning, that person's state of soul, except for God's, shall I call it, lack of His grace, is predetermined. Dear God, how much we owe God for having sinned. The penalty we have coming to us for being sinned is incalculable. How we should, I mean this, welcome pain in our lives, accept not only willingly, but I shall have cheerfully the suffering that God sends us, because it is the way we expiate our sins. And the author of the Spirit of Exercises puts it, you ask for light to recognize these two disorders which inevitably follow sin. One, to abhor my sinful conduct of the past and unspeakable for the future. Live my life and hear it. The more deeply I've sinned in the past, the more virtuous, the more holy, the more saintly God wants me to become in the future. I am speaking as a sinner to sinners. And meditating on the horror of sin, let's make sure in this meditation we concentrate on the evil of sin as a cause of all, the terrible harm to myself and others that I have experienced in my life. Every pain, every suffering, every agony in my life is a result of sin. But I must be aware, deeply, profoundly aware in my mind of the gravity of sin. I'm going to do the penance for my sinful past as God wants me to. Let me be clear, some bodily penance is always in order. But interior mortification of the mind, the will, and the emotion is far more important. And sinners, in God's name, in God's name, is master our minds, control our thoughts. I know what I'm saying. The most difficult task we have in life is to master our minds. Talk about wild animals, wild beasts roaming around. That is the human mind. In God's name, let's plead with the God who made us to give us and increasing mastery of our minds. Now some maxims of St. Ignatius. Exterior penances, as Ignatius, are used chiefly for three reasons. First, as satisfaction of past sins. Make sure you practice some bodily penance every day. Secondly, penance is engaged in overcome myself. That means that my sensuality in the obedience to reason. And all that inferior in me to be subjected to the superior. Thirdly, and very importantly, to seek and find some grace or gift which a person wishes to desires. As for example, if a person wants to have an interior sorrow for his sins, I'm quoting Ignatius, to weep for his sins, what a question to ask us. I ask you, how many of us have ever wept for our sins? To embrace suffering, your eyes say it. To enjoy pain, what am I saying? To enjoy pain. Because we have sinned, in with Jesus Christ, the living God, who became man to die, nailed to the cross, to teach us how we are to expiate our sins. One more reflection. We should know the world in which we live, and the way all the world three times in a single meditation, Ignatius speaks of the horror. He abhors of sin and asks from Our Lady, and then let's be clear. You're told by seeing these to ask for a deep, profound knowledge of the world. Oh, how paganized our age language has become. The world. Why should become deeply aware of the knowledge of the world? So we may be horrified, remove from our lives everything that is worldly and vain. We are living in the wealthiest nation in the world. Nation of Davy in our papers spends nationally tens of thousands of pages describing in great detail with huge pictures of sin and sinners. There, I believe, is no area of Christian spirituality is more to understand than what the Church means by the world. The world is that which God created indeed, but if God first made the world, He's always good. But through sin, this world has become the source and the agent of temptations to most of our sins. this world did not recognize either Jesus or the Father. I'm quoting from John's Gospel. This world hates Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 7. His word is under judgment. John 12, 31. And his world is ruled by the devil. John 16, 11. What a mysterious statement. Jesus does not pray for the world. John 17:9, by which he means Christ does not pray for the unredeemed humanity, which refuses, which turns down the grace of God. How clear this needs to be said. The world cannot be redeemed, reconciled to God on its own. The world ceased to be what it was when God first made it. When the shepherds are told not to love the world, Christ was telling them something profoundly important. Beg our Lord, each one of you understand what the world is in your lives. Quoting St. Ignatius, you see how much evil, how many snares and deceits surround you on all sides. I'm not surprised at this. Had it been worse, God would astonish me. And as soon as you decide and will, live with all your strength for the glory and honor and service of God, the world will hate you. I will never publish my autobiography. Only God knows the price you have to pay for not conforming to this world. Dear God, enlighten us to understand what Christ means when he says, we are to be free from this world. One more statement. This one from St. Ignatius. The shortest, almost the only way to achieve sanctity is to have a horror for everything which the world loves and embraces. And we repeat, the shortest, normal, only way to achieve sanctity is to have a horror for everything which the world loves and embraces. We have only a short time to live in this world. Oh, the denominator of eternity, as I keep repeating, what's 100 years? We're made for eternity, we're made for heaven. But to reach heaven, we must meanness. He must detest, he must reject what this world loves and embraces with all his heart. Dear Lord, we all hope and pray we shall be reunited in heaven with God for all eternity. But the condition is not to love the world. Dear God, open these dull minds of ours. Enable us to see what you want us to do before this weekend is over, to choose it in our heart or humanly speaking on what it may be, and to choose what you want me to want, what you want me to want, because I have been created to do your will and not mine. We shall reach heaven only by surrendering our wills to the will of God. Every day, every hour, shall I have every moment of our lives. Amen. The passage be heard.